Ready? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So let me be honest. Not that I'm not always honest. I'm wired this morning. Had a great night's sleep. Had a great day yesterday with my wife and my grandkids, but I'm wired today. I'm wired for several different reasons. I don't even know if I'm dressed appropriately. Maybe I'll have my war suit on today. Got a million things that need to be spoken about and very little time to speak about them. And each of the things that I have on my list today, it takes about an hour for each one of them to be openly discussed. See, this is where I'm going to lose some of you, maybe, but I'm going to tell you, I really couldn't care less. I really couldn't. See, we lost the American gospel somewhere. I don't know where it happened. I don't know where we came up. See, there are people within the Christian community who will criticize those who are part of what they call the seven kingdom principle. The idea that Christians are supposed to be in charge of earthly institutions. Seven kingdoms, I think, seven kingdom movement, I think is what they call that. The idea, God forbid, that God would be in control of the institutions of men. There's a very, very strong element in Christianity that says, no, 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 no. Jesus told us that his kingdom was not of this world. Seven mountains. Thanks, Rob. Seven mountains. His kingdom's not of this world, boys and girls. We're just passing through here. We're just passing through. Heaven's our home, not this place. Don't get caught up in worldly things. And so the people who are heading up are what part of that? I don't know if I'm part of the seven mountains or not. I don't know. But I tell you this, pick the seven mountains. I don't know what they are. Mike, maybe you could Google that real quickly. What are the seven mountains that the people in the seven mountain movement theology? What are the seven mountains that these fools, as some of the more religious, holy folks in our midst would say, what are these seven mountains that people want to be in control of? These earthly kingdoms. Can I ask you something? Oh, there you go. What's the seven mountain mandate? Thanks, Mike. Let's go there real quick. Sorry, I haven't read this. Seven mountain mandate or the seven mountain prophecy is an anti-biblical and damaging movement. That has gained. Hey, Steve Deck, I'm looking at you right now, Steve.
Yeah.
What aspect of the world is Jesus Christ not king of? Supposed to be king of?
He's king of everything. King of kings, Lord of lords.
There's evidently there's seven mountains he's not supposed to be part of here, right? According to what we're reading here, right?
Yeah.
It's in the charismatic and Pentecostal churches. Those who follow the seven mountain mandate believe that in order for Christ to return to earth, the church must take control of the seven mountain spheres of influence in society for the glory of Christ. And once the world has been made subject to the kingdom of God, Jesus will return and rule the world. Now, my perspective on the seven mountain mandate is I don't care about the end of the world and this return of Jesus. I care about it, but I don't care about it. It ain't got nothing to do with it. To me, the seven mountain mandate is here are the seven mountains. Now, folks, stay with me a minute because evidently I'm an apostate. Nobody's saying this. I'm just reading what they're writing. So, Mike, scroll back down there again. What did they say it was, Mike? That it was a damn anti-biblical and damaging movement. Right? anti-biblical and damaging movement. Scroll down a second now, Mike. What are the seven mountains that Jesus Christ is supposed to be in control of? Let's see. Education. All right. Religion. Family. Business. Government, military. Arts and entertainment. And seven, the media. Did Jesus say, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth, except for the seven mountains of education, religion, family, business, government, military, arts, entertainment, media. The devil's going to run that, but I'll run everything else. I'm in control of everything else. It's ludicrous. And as a result of it, American Christianity has become saltless, good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Because why? They have not occupied education, religion, family, business, government, military, arts, entertainment, and the media. They haven't done it. And I would ask all of my Christian friends, and especially those puffed up, pompous, pharisaical, I'll be careful what I say here. What area of the world is Jesus Christ not king of? Can somebody tell me why? What would the world be like if Christians controlled education? What would the world be like if Christians controlled the family and the structure of the family? What would the world be like? What about religion? Well, see, religion is, we think we're in control of religion. What would the American society be like if Christians were in control of business and business principles, and not a make a buck at all costs attitude, but a righteous, holy attitude in business? What would it be like? What if, my goodness, what if Christians were in control of the government and the military? And we didn't use the military simply to advance financial opportunities for wealthy guys, big companies, big corporations. What if the church was in control of the government? Well, what if the church was in control of the arts and the entertainment and the messages and the videos and the movies and the TV shows that our children saw? We wouldn't want that, would we? No, God wouldn't want us being messing with that. No. What if Christians were in charge of the media? What if the media wasn't allowed to lie? What if everything that was said on the media, guys, do you remember years ago when we used to laugh at Russians in Pravda? We would laugh, oh man, they're believing all that propaganda, right? Come on, you're a big boy, you remember that, don't you? Look at us. And so here we are, Mike goes to this website, slide back to the top of this thing, Mike. GotQuestions.org. What are the seven mountain mandate? Let's read it again. The seven mountain mandate, or the seven mountain prophecy, is an anti-biblical and damaging movement. Okay. I'm going to open it up here. Can somebody come in here and explain to me how that is anti-biblical and damaging? I'm waiting to hear. Come on in, Paul. Good to hear you, bud.
I have a question. Most of those things that you mentioned there, Christians were influential in those areas. Education.
We started them, Paul.
You look at most of the major universities like Harvard, Yale. They were started by churches. You know? And amen. So a lot of the Christians were influential in a lot of things in there. But somewhere along the line, we just kind of abdicated responsibility.
Paul, do you remember the movie rating system? What was the movie rating system?
Oh, yeah.
It was a system where the church said, hey, you ain't going to show that crap to our kids. And if you are going to show that crap to our kids, you got to let us know, which comes back to the NFL when I was complaining about the porn show at halftime. Remember? You guys remember all that, right? Right? And we're sports players. Oh, no, we're not. Listen, we are sanctified and going to heaven. We are not going to get our hands dirty with this worldly stuff. We're just passing through. By the way, it's anti-biblical and damaging, according to GotQuestions.com. Come on, somebody, I want to hear from you. I want to hear somebody. No, Coach, don't bait them.
Could you also say, too, that evil men have come in unaware? and have influence and gotten into the church and told us, no, we shouldn't be doing that stuff, and we believed it.
Quit bringing the Bible into the discussion, will you, Paul? Will you stop that?
Well, hey, Coach.
There's a separation between the media and church, okay? Stop that.
Hey, go ahead, Coach. Denny.
Yes.
When did holier than thou become a pejorative? That's why I like to know.
Well, I don't know, Vinny. I know this. I do know this. That because we gave up every one of those mountains, we did have them. We did have every one of those mountains. Because we gave up every one of those mountains, Christianity became, are you with me? Salvation focused only. Yeah, the world screwed up, but brother, you get saved, and then this old world will have no hold on you, and you'll be able to make it to heaven. And your job is not to be messing around with all this other stuff. Your job, brother, is just to get people saved. That's all. That's all. Really? That really is all it is, huh? So when Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the earth and teach them to observe all I've commanded you and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, he wasn't talking about influencing the culture. When he said to us, Coach Dave, you, Coach Dave, are the salt of the earth. But Coach, if the salt loses his savor, it's henceforth from here on good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Didn't Jesus want us to influence culture and society? And how do you influence culture and society if you're never in a position to make the decisions? How does that work? We end up in a position where we are today, begging evil men to do good. Please, Mr. Republican, please, Mr. Pro-Life Republican, throw us a bone. Please give us a heartbeat bill. Please, Mr. Republican, right? Right? It's great, 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 great failure of the church. Great failure of the church. They called Jesus Christ King for a reason. We say Christ is King. King of the kings. What does a king do? Where does a king? Hey, the scripture says that his kingdom is without end. Yes or no? Now listen, folks, that isn't a timestamp. Without end is not a timestamp. 1929, 2020. His kingdom is without end. Doesn't mean a timestamp. It means ever expanding. You will never get to an area of the world where he is not king. That's what it means. His kingdom is without end. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to. You guys are getting it. You're picking it up. You're picking it up. And you're in the show here today. There's 42 of us. You're in the show here today because you're awake and you get it. You understand.
Amen, brother.
So I'm preaching to the choir in that aspect of it. But what do we do? Tomorrow's Friday. John Diamond's going to be on with us tomorrow and talk about an appeal to heaven. And John has somewhat of a plan in this appeal to heaven. He really does. If we would follow, everybody's got a plan. Come on, everybody's got a plan, right? See, our plan is begging evil men to do good. Begging evil men to do good. So we see this 17-year-old boy, who, by the way, they're now calling a man, the 17-year-old boy with an AR who shot three people as he was being assaulted and attacked in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Have you guys watched the video? Have you watched that video all the way through? 17-year-old boy. Basically there to defend property, gets separated from the crowd, however, and begins to be attacked and assaulted by these. Are you noticing most of these guys for Antifa, whoever they already have records? You notice when one of these guys gets arrested, he has a record. Are you guys noticing that?
AKA peaceful protesters.
Peaceful protesters. And so they come out and the video, just watch the video. There's all kinds of things out there. They charge this 17-year-old boy with murder. And you'll follow these videos and you'll see that they're throwing, hitting him with skateboards. And one guy's got a gun coming towards him. And he shot back. Shot back. See, that's what it's coming to, folks. We don't want to admit it. This is what it's coming to. Why? I would say because we have yielded these seven mountains. Now, John Diamond's going to join us tomorrow, and he's going to talk about the ecclesia, the called out ones. Who really are the ecclesia? And I would say this without sounding like some trying to make anybody feel more important than they are. I'm looking at my list over here. Some of you are only in here by phone number, so I can't tell who you are. But Blue Sky and Brian and Chris and Craig and the other Craig and Dale and Daryl and John and Glenn and Jamie and Jared and Jeff and Jerry and John and Joe and Kenneth and Vinny and Larry and Linda and Luann and Myra and Paul and Portia and Rich and Rob and Roger. And so, hey, we're it. We're the A-team, boys and girls. We're the A-team. You walk into your big mega church and you look around, you see anybody who understands the things that you understand. Just look around. You're not going to find them. Not going to find them. And John Diamond's going to make the case for us tomorrow that it's because we're the ecclesia. We're the real called out ones. We're the ones whose job it is. As I'm looking at my screen right now, I see faces. And looking right under mine, I'm at the top of my list. And right under me is my friend Steve Deck. And you could not ever convince Steve Deck not to serve the Lord. You couldn't do it. You could threaten him with his job. You couldn't do it. Why? Because there's something upon him or in him or through him that not everybody else has. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Absolutely. It'd
be so easy to just shut your mouth, but you can't shut your mouth, can you?
I laid my job on the line, and I told them. I said, you're going down the wrong road.
Right? So there's a mark on you. There's a mark on Mike Heath, who yesterday Mike Heath was visited by the FBI. Mike Heath. Hey, hang on a minute. Mike Heath. Mike Heath. The FBI shows up at Mike Heath's house. What? What violent thing, what dangerous thing is it that anybody in this queue knows that Mike Heath has done? That the FBI would show up. Maybe child porn. Are you looking at child porn in secret, Mike? Is it something like that? No. They show up because why? Somebody on the internet reported you, Mike. What'd they report you for? By the way, Mike, the FBI shows up to your house and tells you that they got an anonymous complaint and they checked it out. And they checked it out, and you're good. It's all good, Mike. And Mike, the anonymous complaint was so fake, made up, that we drove in our black SUV all the way down here to let you know you're clear. Right, Mike?
Yeah. The funniest thing about it, Coach, is my wife. So she drives to our house. We had finished the show. I don't know what. Anyway, she was going to the office, from the office to the house. And there's this black SUV in the driveway. And she suspects who it is because, right, she's been married to me for almost 40 years. So she knows, she suspects, oh, you know, law enforcement, something. And she goes, sure enough, it's the FBI. So she gets out.
Hang on a minute. Folks, the FBI drove an hour in a black SUV to visit Mike Heath. They didn't go down the road and do an investigation on that guy who killed that little boy, shot him in the head. They didn't do any of that. As far as I know, the FBI went down there. They're too busy going to Mike. They wouldn't go to Hillary's house. When we filed, we didn't file an informal complaint, an anonymous report. We showed up at Hillary's house and said, this woman here's committed. And Mike, I wonder if they did an investigation. Go ahead. Sorry to walk on you.
No, that's okay. So Polly asks them, they flash the badge and sort of sheepishly, I guess, say that they're the FBI. Well, Polly wasn't sheepish at all. She, you know, coming out of cancer and whatever, you know, a lot of stuff going on with all this stupid muzzling and everything. And she pulls out her iPhone and starts, and they say, oh, you can't take pictures. She doesn't stop. She points her iPhone at them as if she's videotaping. And then she just starts ripping into them. She says, right here in North Carolina, there's a 5-year-old boy who was executed what in the world are you doing here harassing my husband? And so so anyway, so I'm not home. So she calls me up. She says, the FBI is here. And long story short, they came to the office because I told them to, and I'm glad I did because Jared was able to grab his camera. We videotaped the whole thing, the whole interrogation.
Can we show that now, Mike?
We can, yep. If it's...
Hey, folks. Let's see, where is it? Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you right now. They're watching you. If you're watching this show, they're watching you. Sorry. Sorry, Steve. Sorry, Larry. Sorry, Paul. If you're watching this show, they're watching you, bud. Go ahead, Mike.
Make sure you get the audio.
Yep.
We're going to record this.
There's my dear. There's my dear wife.
Officer! Officer, he's not wearing a mask!
Yes. We're sworn into the U.S. Marshal's Office.
Hi.
This is my partner, Special Agent Tom Quillen.
Recently, no,
we're here. FBI gets a lot of tips.
Right.
Daily, weekly. And one of the ones happened to be someone saw some of the things that you put online. They felt as if it might be something threatening in some way, shape, or form. We've looked into it. It's not.
It's not.
But part of it is, I'm just going to let you know that someone has saw what you did. And just to let you know, that's all.
The reason we're a little bit tense is because I lost my job.
What happened there?
Federal Express.
Federal Express?
Got an anonymous tip, and it was a last mile delivery for them. Mm-hmm. And I was interrogated by their security guard in Kernersville. And without being given any opportunities to talk to anybody official, meant this, just canceled. And they said, you no longer have the right to wear the FedEx uniform anywhere in the world forever. But they didn't say that. What they said was just bizarre. And I'm a little sensitive, and I didn't record the interrogation.
Pause for a second.
And they actually discriminated against
me. Mike, pause for a second. I had this conversation with Mike, so anybody listening right now, don't talk to these guys. Don't talk to these guys. But hey, listen, don't talk to these guys, okay? Let them come up and say what they want to say and then say, thank you, is there anything else? I have no dialogue with these guys. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. Look at that guy back there with his arms folding his mask on. Does that body language make you think he's your friend?
Hey, man, God.
Huh? Don't talk to these guys. Let them ask their questions and say, is there anything else? All right, see ya. Get off my property, please. Right? Come on, folks. Hey, this guy here works for James Comey, or did. He works for Andrew McCabe. That guy right there works for Andrew McCabe. So, oh, no, he doesn't, Coach. He's a good man. Really? Really? So this guy's come all the way down to tell Mike he's no longer under investigation. I checked him out, and he's okay. Mike didn't even know he's under investigation. If this guy wants to come now, let him know that they cleared him of something he didn't even know he was being investigated for, you live in perilous times. Keep going, Mike. Call an attorney.
I appreciate you saying you've investigated it. I don't think they investigated. I think they just took the complaint.
Mike's talking to my friend.
The stuff that you put online, we looked at it. Nothing in it is threatening whatsoever. Then everything falls within your constitutional rights in your opinion and your religion, what you believe. We just wanted to make contact with you and let you know that someone, and I don't even know who it was, it's an online complaint that somebody sent you. So, and they have the option of remaining anonymous, and they chose to do so. So we just wanted to touch base with you, let you know someone out there saw what you put online. They felt it may be threatening. They pointed it to us to look into. We looked into it.
Put a pause there a minute, Mike. Is there anybody watching this show who doesn't realize when you put something online, people are going to look at it? Is there anybody here who doesn't realize that? They have to send an FBI agent down to tell you that when you put something online, somebody saw something. Really?
Something bigger going on here.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry you had to come after
me. No.
Sorry,
my
tax dollars had to. Gotta be expensive for two guys in a Suburban to send you up for Greensboro here.
It's just part of our job. We
part of our job. Just doing my job, boss. Because checking the bushes over here, boss.
And,
doing my job, boss.
And I want to do what I can not to lose jobs, like little blue collar jobs, $12 an hour, just because I have an opinion.
I have no opinion on that.
I know that's not you, but it is the broader culture.
Okay, hang on.
Just want to clarify things from my report.
Another lesson. If you care, I'm not criticizing Mike. Another lesson. When they got back in the car, the guy back there hiding behind his mask, they got in the car together. You know what that guy with the mask did? He pulled his mask down and he looked over to his friend there and he said, that guy's got a lot of anger. That guy's got, don't pay attention to what he says. That guy's got a lot of anger, man. He's mad at FedEx. We got to keep an eye on him. You better hear me. Go ahead.
Do you have any intent to do harm to anybody? Do you have any intent of doing any harm to any company, any corporation, anything like that? Any act of violence?
I'm suing FedEx for $1 trillion if I can figure out a way to do it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, no.
I wish you luck in your endeavors on that. But as far as any plans of that, any acts of violence, thank you very much. I shake your hand with the COVID thing going around. But
oh, Mike, it's so good to have high friends in high places.
Thank you.
Have a good day. FBI's protecting you, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
FBI's protecting you. Woo! I'm sleeping good at night knowing that, baby.
Did we get it?
Well, they got a cool black car, so.
I wasn't criticizing Mike. I've been through this. I've been through this stuff, right? Why does anybody know? Open the phone up here. Why'd these guys show up?
Intimidation.
What do you mean, Ben?
No, they're building a case, Coach. Let's be real about this. This is more than just coming in and investigating him. It's part of building a case.
Well, that's true, because what they said, exactly. Thank you, Joe.
And that's why I told Mike, and I'm criticizing Mike, because you get in these situations. Here, listen, folks. Listen, please hear me. First-hand experience, all right? These guys aren't your friends. When they come to your house, they're not coming to help, okay? They've come to do an investigation. They are not your friends. But we, here's part of the gig, see? We, as good Christian, law-abiding citizens, know that we have nothing to hide. We have nothing to hide. And because we know that we have nothing to hide, we open up and we have diarrhea in the mouth, and we tell them things that we shouldn't be telling them. Mike Heath's first call should have been to his attorney. Pardon me. Boy, sit down. My attorney will be here in an hour. That's the first thing. Hey, listen, I learned it the hard way. Don't talk to the cops.
Absolutely, Coach. They're playing, and I have too. I've dealt with FBI out because of the stuff we do. When they come to your house in that scenario, if you notice, it's the good cop. When they come back, it's normally the bad cop. It's the good cop. They want you to talk. That's exactly what they want you to do.
Yep. I wonder if they recorded it. Did they have to?
They did. Unless the state law there requires on a recording, both parties have to be. But I don't think that's the case in North Carolina. As long as one party knows, then they can record. Well, the FBI knew, so they can record.
So, Mike, let me get this right. This guy basically knows everything they can know about you. They've done research. They've looked into all kinds of files. And, Mike, you couldn't even take a picture of his ID. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what he said. I'm setting this thing up. Yeah, that's what he said. Thank you for the coaching. That's the first time I'd watched the video. I'm embarrassed I appeared so weak. I was taught by a Supreme Court lawyer not to answer, not to do that, not to do what I just did. And what I saw in the video as I watched myself was my father, who raised me. He passed in February, and he raised me to respect and honor and believe in the government and in American institutions. To his dying day this year, with his dying breath almost, he remained patriotic and loyal to America, and he suffered because of what has happened to me, his oldest son, throughout my career, because he couldn't figure it out. He couldn't put it together. He knew that I had taken a stand for the last 40 years against homosexuality, and there was a disconnect. So he would blame me in his own mind. He would think, well, you know, my son is just a little too extreme, right? His tone and style is a little bit off. But of course, he was wrong about that. My father was wrong about that, and I'm not sure if he realized it before he died, but that's what I saw when I watched that video for the first time just now. And thank you for the coaching. You're absolutely right. I should have learned the lesson when I was interrogated at FedEx a month ago. Still haven't learned it yet. I'm very patriotic. I'm very patriotic. I believe in our country.
Sure, hey, Mike, listen, folks. How about this one? I'll bet you that's sort of like the conversation between Donald Trump and James Comey in the White House. What do you think, Mike? Do you think that conversation, when they set up the whole Russia collusion thing, didn't Comey go and speak to the President of the United States? Didn't Comey just show up just like that, slap each other on the back? Oh, you're a great guy, Mr. President. We got you covered. We love you, and we've been getting these complaints, and we're just here to check them out. We're with y'all. Mike, you just fell into the same stinking trap. It's exactly what they did. Why? Because of the goodness in your heart, and this is going to make people mad, the goodness in the heart of Donald Trump, too.
And what's
he's
also
trusted wicked people.
And what's also funny, interesting, is I'm married to a woman, a great woman, Polly, whose father was an independent truck driver, and who one of the characteristics of him, I always thought of it as one of his virtues, is if he encountered injustice while he was trucking. For example, I was with him one time, and they put him on a scale. You know, they pulled him over, the police did, and he just got angry at the state police because of all the niggling they do on those trucks, right? They just look for something that they can pick on. And he got angry at that guy, and he wouldn't give him anything more than he had to. And Polly has that instinct from her father. My father was a bureaucrat and very patriotic, but he's here
from the government, right? To help, right?
Yeah. So this. Yep. Thank you for your coaching. It's so helpful, and I hope everyone who's watching this learns something from it.
Never listen, folks. I'm just, please hear me. Never trust the police. Never trust them. I'm sorry. Sorry, Chad. Never trust them. Don't say anything to the police without a lawyer present. Don't do it. I'm just. You do what you want. I'm just telling you. They're not on your side. They're not on your side. Anything else? I'm going to switch topics here. Unless somebody wants to. Hey, Chad. Am I wrong, Chad?
No, you're right.
Right? Because your job is that when you go up there.
You can count on that they recorded that.
Yep.
You know, they have that capability. They have those little pins, you know, that have a little thing, you know, recorded, whatever. So the senior guy there, he was smooth talking. He was nice. He was thing, you
good
know.
Good cop, bad cop, right?
He'd open that big conversation. Yeah, the other guy stood over there in the defensive posture with the mask on.
Right.
And he tried to be, you know, intimidating, and Mike was nervous, so that's why he was like blah 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 blah.
Well, it's not only that, okay, because I've been in Mike's shoes. Mike wants to make sure he gives them the what for while he has the chance. You only get one chance to talk to an FBI agent, and you want to tell him what you think, didn't you, Mike? And it's not helpful because he's not there.
Well, you don't have to worry about whether it's recorded, Coach. They're monitoring this show. They just saw it, so they got it. It's not a big deal. You
that's
know,
right.
Mike, you're a good man,
yep,
you know,
yep,
and that's all. You learn from this, and we move
yep
on. But
I talked to Mike yesterday. He knows I'm not criticizing. Dale, everybody wants to know, how's the hurricane coming down there, man? You okay?
I'm the figment of your imagination. Everybody's got us written off as dead. No, actually, it was a pretty bad storm last night, catastrophic for some of the area. Like I told you last night, the interstate would be shut down. So we're just going to wait and see. I don't want to put anything out there to, you know, what I'm going to do next week, probably, and going to let the water subside. And A lot of the people evacuated anyway, so we got to wait till they get back down there and see what kind of help we might provide.
All right, buddy. Well, we may get a crew and come down there and help you. We'll just find out. You do the work down on the grounds. We'll see what
we can guess do. What house is open and available for everybody to sleep at?
Cool.
My neighbors.
Awesome, man.
Texas, we got an open house.
All right, bud. Appreciate it, folks. Let me ask you something. This is kind of what's on my heart as we continue on here today. I was thinking about it this morning as I was doing show prep and a lot of the things I came across, and see where we are in America today, and see how the church has failed. And I wrote something down in my own notes two things I wrote down in my notes and I want to throw out on the table today. Yeah, we'll get into the word. If we could go back 50 years, what is this? What year is this? 2020? 50 years ago, it would have been 1970. If we could go back 50 years, if the American church could have the gift of hindsight, if we could wake up now, go back to the future, back to 1970, is there anything that the church could have done to prevent what's going on now? That's the note I wrote down. What could the church have prevented in 1970? The microphone's open, the floor's open. Can anybody tell me anything the church could have prevented 50 years ago had we been awake and involved?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It might have to go back further than 50 years, Coach. Back in 1967, the denomination that I was just enthralled with, well, I was the leader of the youth group, the whole works. I was the young person in the church, man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They started coming back. Our pastor came back from convention in Miami, or no telling what he was doing for a week, and started telling us about all the things he'd been preaching for years that had changed. And this was our new attitude. This was our new view on this and that. And right then, I knew the church was useless.
Yep.
That was 1967.
That's 67. Somebody else, come on. What else? Tell me something specifically the church could have something we could have held the ground on. Can anybody tell me anything?
Abortion.
The church could have won the abortion battle, couldn't it? If in 1973, as soon as that decision came down, the church rose up and said, hell no. It's been 37 years, 47 years. How many? It's been a long time. So if we look back over our shoulder, what could the church have done? Could the church have prevented abortion? Yes. What else?
I took the Bible out of schools, or praying out of schools.
Wow. Took prayer and Bible reading out of schools. Could the church have done anything about that? How about those Seven Mountain people, huh? Do those Seven Mountain people realize that they let the government destroy the church? Do they understand they let the government destroy the impact and influence of the church? Because those who, hey, Mike, do me a favor real quickly. Go back to that Seven Mountain. I want to show you something that snuck right by most of you. You ready? Are you sitting down? The Seven Mountain Mandate or the Seven Mountain Prophecy is an anti-biblical and damaging movement that has gained a following in charismatic and Pentecostal churches. What they are really saying is those who believe in the Holy Spirit are damaging and anti-biblical. Is anybody reading that any different than me? Anybody reading that any different than what I'm reading here? This is one persuasion of Christianity saying better be very careful. That other one's anti-biblical and damaging, right? So we could have stopped abortion. We could have kept prayer in school and Bible reading in school. What else? Come on back. Go back 50 years with me, church. Come on. What else? No-fault divorce. Good one. No-fault divorce. Well, we could have prevented no-fault divorce. Go ahead. Somebody else.
Taking us off, Coach, the gold standard.
taking us off of the gold standard. No, just get people saved, Dale. We just need to get people saved. Come on, something else the church could have stood up and done. Because listen, right? Just preach the gospel, coach. Don't get involved with the world. Just preach the gospel. Just get people saved, right? Steve?
Hey, coach.
Yeah, free love.
Free love. Free love, huh? Oh, by the way, free love leads to abortion. Abortion is the fruit of free love. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, when I was a boy, young man, in the early 70s, right around 1970, I could become a Christian at Baptist Church. Now, I'm not going to put down the Baptist, but Coach, I really thought the way they preached and taught everything, the end of the world was coming, was right on us, and the rapture was coming, and it didn't matter. Don't get involved in the government. Don't get involved in everything. It doesn't matter. We're out of here.
Yep.
So that's in the heart of a lot of that teaching. And yes. I'm telling you, it takes your focus off of living and being responsible now, setting your family up down the road, giving them an inheritance, and it puts it on, I'm going to be out of here. It doesn't matter. That's the fruit, Coach. That's why the church pulled out more than anything else, I believe.
So here's where I am. Here's where I'm going. Here's the question I'm asking. Here we are. What are we going to say 50 years from now? What are we going to say 50 years from now we could have prevented? Because it's right here. It's right here right now.
Let's go back. I'm not sure, Coach, but let's, because I stepped out of the room, but the welfare system, which took fatherhood out of the hood, that's why the black, it is the most devastating thing to the black community.
The Great Society, huh, Dale? The idea that you get without working. The idea that if you take the man out of the home, the government will give you more money. The idea that government is supersedes God. Church could have done something about that 50 years ago. Something else? Come on. Because listen, the Seven Mountain Movement would say we shouldn't even be messing with these things. We shouldn't even be, right? Church doesn't need to be involved. We just got to get people saved into heaven. Really.
But Coach, the church wasn't preaching don't be involved in abortion. They wasn't teaching break down the family. They wasn't teaching the things that were going to happen, but what they were teaching was causing some of that. See,
permitting it, right?
Because they're false teaching of something that's a wrong narrative. You run everything through it. Everything else is a byproduct of that. And I'm telling you, Coach, this, if you would knew you was going to be here 50 years from now, you would do more. You would create your family to set them up to be strong when you leave. You would build your own assets. You would have inheritance stuff. It's not that you love the earth and the world. It's but you love your posterity, Coach. You love what the kingdom of God.
You're going to occupy till he comes, right?
That's right, Coach.
And so the reality of it, of what we're hearing today, still today in American's gospel is, well, Coach, listen, it's what the Bible says is going to happen. It's just going to get worse and worse. Let's just get as many people saved as we can. Well, I wonder how many people today would have been saved if we had been occupying these seven mountains. Does anybody think that the occupying, Mike, scroll down a little bit, please. Does anybody think if Christians were in control of education and religion and family and business and government and arts and media, that they would be doing what they're doing in Kenosha, Wisconsin? Does anybody think that that would be going on had Christians gained power and influences in those seven mountains? Somebody convince me. And how is it any different as we look forward 50 more years? Oh, we're not going to be here. Oh, okay. Late Great Planet Earth, Hal Lindsey's book. When did that come out? Anybody know when that book came out? Late Great Planet?
Like 1968?
Somewhere along in there, right? Late Great Planet Earth. That's when Hal Lindsey planted that in the brain of everybody else. We started seeing the Left Behind series and all that. I'm not having a theological debate over the rapture. It's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a mindset. So the Late Great Planet Earth... Where was it, Mike? When was it published? Come on. Because that, nothing changed American Christianity more than that book. That's my opinion. The Late Great Planet Earth. Late Great. Meaning not around anymore. Not around anymore. This book was first featured on a primetime television special featuring Hal Lindsey in 1974 with an audience of 17 million people. Years later, it was adapted by Ralph Frostberg and Robert MRAM during the 1976 intro into a film narrated by Orson Welles and released by Pacific International Enterprises. It was originally ghostwritten by Carlson, whom later printings edited as co-author Lindsay, and Carlson later published several sequels, including Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. The 1980s, Countdown to Armageddon. So we've spent the last 50 years waiting for the end of the earth. Does anybody see any different than me? And the people who've been waiting for the end of the earth are the ones telling us that we shouldn't be occupying the seven mountains. Go ahead and give the education system to the devil. Go ahead and do that. Turn over. Hey, listen, do me a favor, Coach. Give the American Medical Association over to the satanic guys. Let them run it. Let them come up with vaccines and injections and social distancing and face masks. And does anybody listening to this show right now think America would be different if Christians were running the American Medical Association? See, that's the impact of our washing our hands. Isn't that what Pilate did? Washed his hands of it. Wash my hands. I'm going to wash my hands of the culture and the society. I'm out of here soon. I'll be out of here with clean hands.
Hey, Coach.
Yep, yo.
Late Great Planet Earth, it came out in 70. That's when the book came out.
All right.
And I found out about it in like 72 when I was in Vietnam.
Hmm.
And that book was the greatest permission to sin has ever been written.
Keep going, Joe.
Okay. Because, and I'll give you just a private example. When I was, 10 years old, I saw this magazine in the little store next to, near our house. It was really cool because it had a pretty girl sitting on an airplane wing. And I was into airplanes.
I was into girls.
Okay. Well, when I was 10, I wasn't.
Just kidding, John.
Yeah, I understand. The girls I have were my sisters, and I'm going to, that kind of thing. But that changed my life. I became one of the biggest porn addicts this planet has ever seen. Hmm. And I have wasted more money. And it came to a time when I was so thankful that the internet was free.
Hmm.
And it got worse and worse.
Internet wasn't free, was it, Joe?
Internet
cost you a lot, brother.
Cost me more than I am willing to admit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Almost cost me my marriage, which is coming up on 45 years.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm like you. We got the greatest women in the world.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But porn itself is the destructive blood of this nation. Okay?
Hmm.
Because it leads to promiscuity. It leads to out-of-wedlock sex. It leads to abortion. It all gives us permission to do whatever the hell we want to do.
And Joe, punish less sin, because you're saved, brother.
That's it.
All under the blood, right, Joe?
That's right.
You're saved, brother. Jesus is coming soon, and you've got him as your personal savior, and he's
this is an addiction, and I'll get over it.
He's full of grace and full of mercy, and yeah. And he loves you more than you even love yourself. And he wants what's a wonderful life for you, Joe. And man, he feels bad when you sit down and you click on that porn. He feels bad. Jesus feels bad about it too. And he wants to help you get over that. Right, Joe? Isn't that exactly it?
That's exactly it.
Hey, Kurt.
Yes.
You know, I feel impelled to inject this. The simplest way to tell what direction the gospel is going in, if a gospel is preaching that Jesus can be your savior without first you making him your Lord, run from that gospel.
Well, Larry, we don't even know what it means to make him our Lord. We don't even understand that. We understand a landlord, don't we? We understand you don't like it when your landlord shows up for the most part. That's not a good thing. Why do we think it's a good thing when Jesus shows up? When the Lord shows up? Why is that a good thing? Instead of a landlord, maybe we ought to call it your spirit Lord. Uh-oh, here comes my spirit Lord. What did I do wrong? But that's not the attitude, and that's not the approach that we have, right? So the point that I'm trying to make here, I'm trying to make several of them, I guess. I got a whole list of stuff I haven't even gotten into yet. What do we do? I wrote down here the last thing I wrote this morning as I made my list of things. Who would miss you if you didn't show up tomorrow? Ponder that a minute. Who would miss you if you didn't show up tomorrow? If I didn't show up here tomorrow and do this show, and I didn't come in on Monday, and I didn't come in on Tuesday, and I didn't come in on Wednesday, you'd guys soon be watching Alex Jones or somebody else. You'd move on. You'd find something else to fill that healthy, as Lord Ingram says, radio addiction. I'm not making light of it. I'm saying that each one of us have somewhere along the line lost the significance of who we are in Christ. And I jokingly tell everybody at my funeral, there's going to be a riot at my funeral, because there's going to be a line of people crying and a line of people waiting to pee. You understand what I'm saying? Some are going to shed tears over my body, and some are going to want to pee over it. But I make no apologies at all for what I believe, what I say. Do I sometimes say things I wish I could take back? Yeah, but I ain't going to grovel and whine and moan about it. And it would be something to ask yourself, who's going to miss you if you don't show up tomorrow? When you die, is it going to be news or just an obituary? Are you going to make the front page or the obituary page? And I'm not talking about media and press, but I remember John Maxwell said, I like John Maxwell, although he's one of those feel-good preacher guys too. Great, great wisdom. He said the real measure of success is that those who know you the best love you the most. You hear that, Silver? Those who know you the best love you the most.
That's correct.
And how much of our life we spend trying to get people to love us who can't wait to spit on our grave. Right? I'm going to play a video right here at the end. I was thinking about that 17-year-old kid that there in Kenosha. I don't know if you guys have seen the video. 17 years old. That's somebody's son. And I don't know if you've seen this. There's a couple videos of him being interviewed before the incident took place. He came down with his gun to guard his community. That's what he did. There's at least two different separate interviews of people did talking to this guy before the whole thing happened, before the whole thing took place. Did you know that he had a first aid bag with him? He had a first aid bag that he carried in case somebody was going to be injured. Isn't that something? 17 years old down there with an AR defending his community. He didn't want any trouble. Imagine yourself being 17 years old and in the midst of that mess where they're kicking you and guys got guns. How would you react as a 17-year-old kid? And then to wake up and see the media calling you a murderer when all you were trying to do was do the right thing. You're right, Craig. Trouble came to him. He didn't go looking for it. Trouble came to him. So I saw this video. Somebody sent me this today, and it's I don't even think it's Christian. Okay, I'm not so sure this is Christian, but it made me think some of the stuff I thought about today. Who would miss you if you didn't show up? And just watch this. It's only 4 minutes, Mike. Maybe we can put a time and a quarter, and we can get through it just a little bit quicker, maybe. Because this plays into a lot of stuff that we discuss here on the show about, you know, we're energy based and yada yada. Go ahead and play it, Mike.
This was some type of a projection, holographic projection, whatever, you know. I mean, you can argue about the shape of the earth. It doesn't matter. It obviously doesn't matter to me. Say you prove the earth is flat. Now what? You're leaving? Say you prove it's a globe. Now what? You're leaving? It doesn't matter. Say you prove the stars are here and the stars are there. Whatever. Can you get there? Does it matter? I just enjoy looking at them. They're beautiful. It doesn't affect me. None of that affects my path through this realm. Whatever the shape is, wherever it's located. The main thing that affects me on my path through this realm is the emotional state that I'm in, the energetic state that I convey. And the most definite part of this whole journey, the only part of it that is absolutely unavoidable, is exiting the realm. Eventually I'm going to die. We're taught to live our lives in fear of that and to do everything we can to avoid that. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen to everybody at some stage. There's no avoiding it. It's just the way it is. You're going to leave this realm. You're going to leave it. You're going to die one day. The question is, how do you want to spend your time in the realm, and how do you want to exit the realm? Are you prepared to allow yourself to be pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and cowed and cowed and wear a mask and walk around being afraid to talk to anybody and have no life here at all because you're scared of the one part of life which is inevitable, which is going to happen to you anyway? Or would you prefer to just exit the realm now before they do that? You know, and I'm not saying commit suicide or anything like that, but I'm just saying stand in your power and allow whatever happens to happen. Because if everybody did that, we wouldn't have to do any of this. Like I said before, you can turn off your television, shut down your smartphone, turn off the internet, the whole plandemic would go away. How many people are prepared to do that? And how many people are prepared to allow themselves to be pushed and squashed and squashed and squashed in order to avoid death when death is the one part of life which is inevitable? Why is everybody going to all this trouble to avoid this thing? Because they're scared of what other people say, what other people will do. When no one actually has a right of ownership or authority over you, and all you're really dealing with is people. It's just people. But, you know, a lot of people won't make it through what's coming, and a lot of people will. But what if that's what it's about? What if a lot of people aren't supposed to make it through? What if this is a way of consciousness filtering itself? What if you wanted to filter out your consciousness or filter your consciousness? How would you get rid of the stuff that didn't work? Create a situation like this. All the stuff that doesn't work is going to walk around wearing masks and butt plugs, and all the rest of it are going to prepare to face infinity without flinching. So you get to harvest that essence. You get to grab that essence each time and bring that back to source. Get rid of all the garbage. Who knows, folks? Maybe this is a way of soul purification. Maybe there's only one of us here. Maybe there's just you here, and all the people that you react with or interact with are in their own little overlapping universes, and you're all reflections of each other, and you're all filtering out that noise from your own soul so that you can become one with the divine.
Reaction. Because it's clearly not Christian, but hey, non-Christians are going to die too, aren't they? And isn't it amazing that we spend so much time trying to avoid the unavoidable? fight to stay alive to the point where you're not even living. We're not even living. We're just surviving. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times the non-godly, the non-Christian world understands Christian principles and applies them a whole lot better than what calls itself the church does. And I use, for example, the Masonic Lodge. They understand the power of unity. Their entire program is built around supporting each other everywhere, all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
Coach, I kind of wanted to end with this. There's another person on the internet that deals with Catholic issues, homosexuality, things like that. within the clergy and the laity. And the Lord brought me to this concerning that, because in Revelation, or the Apocalypse, as it's called in the Catholic Bible, okay, it speaks of coming out of her. Okay. It's chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Go out from her, my people, that you may not share in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues." That's not for Catholics. That is for every religion that's out there.
Amen.
Including Baptists, Lutherans. They're all part of the same church. And people have to get moving.
Joe, I got to run. Folks, listen. 50 years ago, what could we have prevented? 50 years from now, are we going to be asking ourselves that same question? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.